Thanks, Don. The first thing I want to say about the movie is that Don was just talking about The Nines. It is one of my all-time favorites. It is such a good movie. I love that movie. So watch it. Whether or not you come to Movie Group, and we hope you do, but whether or not you come, be sure and watch that movie. It's really got a lot of powerful messages. The second thing I want to say about the movie is I noticed that there was a spoiler in Jay's description of the movie. So if you don't, if you don't, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know, then don't read the description for the movie. And then the final thing that I want to say about the movie is that it is available on John Mark Stroud's website, where you can watch it for free, onewhowakes.org. And you know, it's usually I find it a lot of fun to watch a movie with John Mark Stroud. On the rare occasion I find it annoying, I just want to watch the movie. I don't want to hear his interpretation. But most of the time I find it edifying to hear John Mark's explanation of the movie. And if you're familiar with him, you know that what he generally does is we'll watch the movie with him for a little while, and then he'll pause it and he'll talk about the symbology contained within the movie. So anyway, so it's a fun way to watch it. Again, John Mark Stroud's site is onewhowakes.org. All right. So it has been forever since I've been sitting here in this seat for this program. Hey, Cheryl. We actually had a talk recently where we decided, I think it was me and Don, and Regina, that it's time for me to move on from what I've been doing on this program. And I've been reading The Way of Effortless Mindfulness with Locke Kelly. Great book. I recommend it. But it's just not what I ought to be doing right now. What I ought to be doing right now is going back to journaling. Journaling, first of all, actually writing words on paper, although I do it on the computer, but you know, still actually doing that work. It's really important for me to do. It's interesting. I had gotten, it's interesting to me. I don't know if it's interesting to you. But I had gotten away from that habit because for a number of reasons. One, I switched the format of this program. Two, Connie and I were not doing it any longer, but we were writing the tips for for general healing year one, and it kind of morphed into like, Holy Spirit, tell me what to write for this tip. And it was just weird because it felt like it was for publication. You know, it just did wasn't flowing the way it used to. So that's the second reason I got away from it, and that's all I can think of to say. It seemed like there was something else I wanted to say, but it's gone. So I think it's good to get back into this, get back into journaling. I mean, you know, as we talked about last night in general healing, there's only one thing going on here. God is, I am God. God is being, that's me being. You know, all the answers are right here. So, you know, that's a good, really good place to look for answers. So, and that's what happens when I journal. So, and I did tell Dawn, and I don't know what Dawn decided, but I certainly said if you want to pick up where I left off, you're more than welcome to do it with Locke Kelly's book. So, having said that. Well, I don't know, Don. If you decide you want to do that, let me know and we'll talk about it. But I think, I don't know. I do see where I left off. I left off on page 69 of Locke Kelly's book, which is just the beginning of chapter four. So if you're interested in doing that, have at it. What I did think, though, was that we were, hey, Izzy. What I did think, though, was that, we were enjoying the mindful glimpses. And so I thought maybe we could start, you know, in the old days, you know, what 6 months ago, we would start this program with a song. But I thought, well, maybe we'll just start the program with a mindful glimpse. I can still use his mindful glimpses. So that's what I intend to do, at least for today's program. So I marked one. that I don't actually think we've done, but even if we have, okay. So let me, I know you all love this two part two where I go, Dawn, how's that sound? But anyway, Dawn, how's that sound? So I'm going to do that. But let me share and take a minute. We'll get settled in. We'll do a mindful glimpse before I start my sharing in chief. Okay. And good. Thank you. All right. So let's settle in and do this mindful glimpse. It is titled Embodiment Scan. And there's a little explanation from Locke before we go into it. So let's just read that whole paragraph. You have taken a yoga class or a mindfulness I'm sorry, I just got noticed saying my internet connection was unstable and I'm all plugged in with my Ethernet cord and all that. Anyway, sorry, it was distracting. Let me try again. Those who have taken a yoga class or a mindfulness-based stress reduction course will likely have done a body scan meditation. This embodiment scan practice is similar, but you are not scanning your body from your everyday mind using attention. This is a non-dual body scan. In this glimpse, we're going to have local awareness unhook from thinking and then drop to know and experience your entire body directly from within, and then open to discover the safety of being boundlessly embodied. This is a good practice for helping you wake up from the limitations of your small mind. You may also find that this is a good practice to help you fall asleep at night. Okay. And he doesn't say whether this should be done with eyes open or closed, so whatever suits you, feel free to do. Let's take a deep breath before we start. Begin by finding a comfortable way of sitting or lying down. Notice the feeling of your breath in your body. Now, shift your awareness to notice the location of where you're focusing from. Next, let local awareness unhook from this focusing location and begin to move down, feeling its way down through your face to feel and know your jaw directly from within. Be aware of not looking down from your head to your body. Notice what it is like local awareness begins to know and feel your body directly from within. Mm-hmm. cinch your neck from within. Feeling your shoulders, arms, and hands. And then further expand to be aware directly from within your chest, upper back, belly, and lower back. Continue moving downward to include your hips, pelvis, thighs, legs, and feet, knowing them directly from within. Body from head to toe from within. As your awareness moves down the length of your body, notice the releasing of holding and a deep relaxation. Be aware of the space, awareness, contact, and effervescent aliveness of the experience of knowing your body. Feel your breath happening by itself, like waves in the ocean. Feel that awake awareness is also happening by itself. Notice that awareness extends beyond your body to notice the space in the room and the awareness is an interconnected dynamic field. Subtly connected to everything and everybody while feeling embodied here and now. Enjoy the feeling of the natural, boundless freedom and awareness energy embodied. Rest in the fullness of interconnected embodiment. Stop my share. Thank you for participating with me. Would anyone like to share about their experience? Cheryl? Yeah, please.
I will say that I think I'm going to miss this mid-afternoon. Just, you know, the guided, I think it's your voice, I think it's the music, I think it's the intention that I look forward to, and I really do. I look forward to the Wednesday mid-afternoon, even if it's just a 10 or 15 minute meditation.
Well, so, I think I can continue that if you all will allow me and just start. Was that a clap or were you getting a fly?
These little flies. I got these little flies.
What's the sound of one hand clapping?
Well, what came up for me is if you don't want to do that, I'm feeling inspired to even start the next session with a guided meditation. But I would much rather be the participant. Being a little selfish here, but thank you. I really do. I love and I appreciate what you're doing here. I was able to just, allow the mind to have some thoughts, but it was just such a relaxing experience to just be. And that's what I'm really learning more and more as it's not even about taking it seriously. It's about really just stepping into this feeling that this is my home.
Yes.
Within, and it just is so really indescribable, actually. It's just so peaceful and it's warm and fuzzy and all that good stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew how much I appreciated Wednesday afternoons. Cool. Even if sometimes I'm, my screen's not on and I may even be doing something, but I'm still in that mindset of, this is a time for silence, time to quiet the mind, And I feel rejuvenated as a result.
Very cool. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for sharing that. And yeah, I mean, that is kind of the, it's what I felt. So we'll call that guidance. Was, even though I'm letting go of reading the book to continue doing these mindful glimpses, I also find it helpful to like just settle in, you know, I mean, because I'm busy running around all morning. And typically when Anne's teaching, I'm cleaning house. And then when Regina's teaching, I'm eating and, you know, and I just haven't settled in. So it's just a lovely way to settle in. So we'll continue to do that until the guidance says do something else. Yeah. Okay. So let me figure out where to start looking at this journal again. It's so weird because the pages don't have numbers, so I don't even know where it starts. Actually, I do know where to start. I don't want to start there. and I don't have a date for this. I transferred it from my tablet because I did this while at Connie's for the holidays. It's just, instead of having a date, it says around Christmas, sometime around Christmas. This is what we wrote. And, so we'll see if I get to, last night I talked a little bit about this, having kind of like lost it, at dinner, with a friend and, in Louisville there. And, So I really appreciated hearing what Regina had to say today about you know, the peaks and the valleys, you know, and just because you're experiencing a valley doesn't mean you've stopped healing, stopped learning, stopped being in purpose. That's actually the proof that you are doing it, you know. So I really appreciated her teaching about projecting an image. And the funny thing is so here I am talking about it. This doesn't come to the end of this journaling, so maybe I'm just going to talk about this. So let me just tell you what the incident was. The incident was I was trying to explain actually a legal concept, something I think I know something about, right? I was trying to explain a legal concept to somebody. And they're like, listen, I just don't think we're communicating. Obviously, you're getting upset. And I'm like, I'm not getting upset. Tell me I'm getting upset. And I ended up slamming on the table in a public restaurant, which was embarrassing to everybody. Everybody at the table. There were four of us at the table. It was just a bad situation. It's not, you know, it's not the way I want to show up. But I did realize later that I think I realized this. I'm going to read this. I'm going to skip to this back page here, which is apparently the last thing I wrote about here in a minute. But I realized that. It was very upsetting to have somebody else tell me how I felt or who I was or what my intentions were. I got really upset and I hadn't been upset. It was a misperception, whatever, you know, but man, I got upset. I mean, I got so upset that my mouth was drawn tight. And I was going, look, you don't tell me, you know, and I'm going to go to all the little wrinkles around my lips. You know, I mean, I was really upset. So apparently this is what we're doing first. So I'm going to read to you what I wrote about it. But I wrote this the day after. And I've had more time to ponder it. And again, and I heard Regina say it again in the teaching that she did a moment ago about, are you trying to project an image? And frankly, that pisses me off. I can feel that that pisses me off. Tell me I'm trying to project an image. It's the same thing, right? Don't you tell me. So what I've written here, I don't know what I've written. I haven't read it lately. So we'll see if I got anywhere close to that as I wrote about it. I was doing this, I remember, while I was driving. It was voice to notebook. I may have to correct some of it. But it says, well, I don't know what happened with last night, but it was strange as anything. And I am willing to look at it for the purposes of healing. I can see a real reluctance to look at it. I'm reluctant to look at it because it feels like it makes me wrong, when it really feels like the other person was out of line and we can't both be wrong. Okay. So what I was saying there, I guess, is, it feels like it makes me wrong when it feels like that other person was wrong. So I think I'm still in denial here. I'm still trying to justify, right, what I was dealing with. So I said, to look at it, to say, oh, this is for me to do some healing. you're messed up, Jacqueline, and there's something in you you need to fix. And part of me is still going, yeah, but that person was so out of line. Can't be me, right? And then I said, when you say it out loud, it just sounds silly. It's wrong, and I don't know what I mean when I say that there. It's wrong. It was clear that I was very, very upset. And what seemed to make me very, very upset was her telling me I was very upset. I felt maligned. I think what may have made me so angry was a lack of control again. I have no control on how others perceive me. It doesn't seem okay for others to misperceive me. Again, that seems ridiculous. You know, when you say this stuff out loud, it's like, oh my God. I think I talked recently, and maybe it was in a general healing class, I talked about that thing that I went through with a recent retreat about Tom, and about who is doing great right now, by the way. But at that time, that particular day, he wasn't doing well. And he seemed to be uber depressed and with nowhere to go, you know, and I don't mean nowhere physically to go. I mean, nowhere to go with that. Just, you know, no end to that depression in sight. And that was very, very upsetting. And so we talked about it at the retreat, and what we had, I'm wondering now where my retreat book is. I do know where it is. I don't know if I'll go get it. But what we had talked about was the fact that it's kind of like Tom was an extension of me. And if I couldn't control, and I needed Tom to be happy in order for me to be happy, right? And if I couldn't control that situation, then I'm a victim. Then I have no ability to control what goes on around me. And therefore, I have no route to happiness. I mean, if I have to have things be a certain way, and I can't make those things be a certain way, then I'm screwed, right? None of that is true. But that was a big revelation for me at that retreat. And so what I'm saying here is the same thing. I think maybe what made me so angry was a lack of control again. I have no control on how others perceive me. It doesn't seem okay for others to misperceive me. Isn't that funny? I mean, again, that's what Regina just talked about. You know, her mom thinks she worries about Jasmine. Okay, so if she doesn't, so what? I mean, again, who needs to assert, no, that's not how I am. This is how I am. No, I don't easily get upset when I'm explaining legal concepts. You're the one who's upset. You're the one who's out of line. You know, it's not me. Who needs to assert all that? What am I clinging to? Regina spent some time today in her Tao Te Ching teaching talking about this concept that we've just been talking about, but about not defending yourself. Gosh, I don't think I printed that part of the my journal out either, but that came in really clearly a month ago. Time to stop defending yourself. And certainly I have practiced that. I don't know about the certainly part, but I had practiced that several years ago. Just resist the temptation to defend myself. And it's an excellent, my God, what an excellent exercise that is. Because you don't realize how common it is. I mean, in everything, it's not like defend yourself when somebody says, oh, you're sleeping with my husband. I mean, you know, something big, right? It's like, you know, who dropped this food on the floor? Why didn't you pick that food up off the floor? Which is, you can see even with those two things, who dropped the food on the floor is like, oh, I must have dropped it. That's one thing. But if I go, Cheryl, why didn't you pick that food up off the floor? Well, if I'd seen it, I would have picked it up. Not that Cheryl would talk like this, but I'm just... No, right? But you can see even the inflection, right? The someone's accusing me of doing something, right? I mean, so this tendency to defend ourselves and my tendency to defend myself, it's ever present. And it's an ego preservation strategy. This defense. Cheryl, yeah, please share.
Completely relate. And I also want to put something in that I've been it's been helping me is, you know, when did I first feel this? When did I actually first feel this way? And this has been my inquiry because I actually have that same experience going on recently with actually some folks here in La Vida. So yeah, this has been it's been very helpful. And believe it or not, it's been actually a blessing for Sarah, my daughter. She's going through a really rough time, and she called me just the other day to thank me. And then she started to bawl and cry, and I couldn't hear a word she said. But she basically is saying, you know, Mom, you know, your wisdom has been coming through, and I just want to thank you. And I was like, whoa, you know, thank you. No, thank you for, you know. Anyway, I don't want to.
No, and I appreciate that because what you share when you share that is really you share the true desire of our heart, which is to be a light to other people, which is to be of service. And you know, ego's like, no, I want to defend this little territory. I don't want people to think, no, that's not what we want. What we want is to be that light that you're being for your daughter.
Yeah. It's been pretty amazing, actually, Jacqueline. It's really, I don't want to get into details, but her life is really, wow. You know, if you're going to look at it and go, oh my God, you know, I would never want to have to go through this. And I'm not even talking about her personal physicality. It's just the whole thing. She's being completely ripped off by some guy. She's given him almost $20,000. I mean, it's a big story, and I don't want to get into it. But what I'm saying is I guess I was her beacon, and I didn't even know that I was.
Sweet.
Because I was just trying to, you know, just be there for her and not try to fix her, not try to tell her what to do, right, how to do it. I just was her beacon, and she called just bawling. Like, I just want you to know, thank you. I really just want to thank you. And I was like, wow, okay, thanks. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to let go. But, you know, thank you. That's thank basically you, what I've been doing is looking at myself, not looking out toward anybody else and going, okay, so when have I first felt this feeling that I feel so strong to have to defend? So, all right.
Amen. Yes. Now, I appreciate you sharing that. And I guess I will also share an example for my life, and that is with Tom. And, many of you know Tom and I have a strange relationship. He's here sometimes. He's not here sometimes. He's in New York sometimes. Right now he's getting ready to rent a house in Pueblo. We love one another, but that doesn't mean we need to live together. But I will say that this recent time period of living together has been the most harmonious maybe that it's ever been. And that's in large part due to not needing to explain to the other person. You know, he's not doing it, I'm not doing it, for the most part. You can tell when we veer from that, because it's like cats, you know, thrown together. To just let the other one have whatever opinion they have, you know? And I think that in my relationship with Tom, that's been the biggest issue, has been, who does he think I am? What makes him think I would do such a heartless thing or a thoughtless thing, or, you know, who does he think I am? It doesn't matter who he thinks I am. That's none of my business. And we've said that for a long time, you know, who you think I am is none of my business. But there's real, real wisdom in that. Who am I trying to preserve this image for? And it's not for Tom, please, or anybody else in my life. It's for me. It's who do I want to think that I am? What am I pretending to be? That's what leads to that that need to protect and defend this image. Who do I want to pretend that I am? Listen, I also want to read Dawn and Shauna both posted. Dawn says, I'm thinking a helpful inquiry could be, will this actually kill me to not defend? Let's see. And sometimes, oh my God, sometimes it feels like it is. It's like, ooh, ooh. And just saying that reminds me of a companion practice, which is, if you have an opinion about something, don't express it. Oh my God. I was like, oh, how am I going to keep this in my mouth, right? And Shauna's holding herself by the throat. And she said, what did Shauna say? Shauna says it comes up in her throat. It comes up into my throat. Yeah, you might feel it there. Dawn says, for me, it feels so energetic in the chest area, the desire to defend. So, you know, again, our body is such a beautiful communication device. There's something going on. If you're feeling that, you know, it's like, well, it just tells you, if you're feeling that, then you're addicted to it. I'm thinking of how you feel when you want a cigarette. You know, anybody who's ever smoked knows what that feels like. It's like, I need one now. What do you mean I can't have one? What do you mean I can't smoke in here? You know, you can feel that constriction, that desire to for it to be different than that. And it's an addiction, this desire to defend, this desire to express one's opinion. And it's an addiction to ego. And Shauna notes that Cheryl was talking about the when have I felt this before, that's one of the steps in the choose again inquiry, to ask, have I felt this before? When was the first time I felt this? Yeah. Yeah. So, and Cheryl notes that being present and aware is so helpful. And really, it is. It's, what am I feeling? What does that tell? Watch the body. See what it does. See what it feels. That's what NTI tells us. So, let's see what else I had to say about my little incident. It says, I do think it is interesting that our assignments this week from Regina during her homily was to look at someone we don't like and to use that as a roadmap to what needs to be healed in us. And then I stated some of the qualities that I thought some of the judgments that I had about this person. And I said, I don't know why it's not okay for her to be that way. I mean, whatever they are, right? What's that got to do with me? Why would I need this person to be different? I said, I can tell you the way this makes me feel. Stupid. Stupid and out of control. It also makes me feel like a fraud. Ah, see, that's ding, 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 ding. That's where if I wasn't catching it, that's where I should have been catching it. It makes me feel like a fraud because I feel like I ought to be able to control myself in the face of whatever comes up. What's that? That's an image. Watch me be spiritual. I said, I'm willing to sit in that feeling and ask for clarity. And then this is funny. And this is a thought that came in the mind, and it is clearly a false thought. And I recognize it as a false thought at the time, but I'll go ahead and share it with you because it's written right here. It says, the thought that keeps coming to mind. Well, we'll look at it some more after I read it. The thought that keeps coming to mind is a thought that seems to let me off the hook, so I don't know what to do with it. That thought is that the whole scenario was somehow orchestrated beyond me. The only real test was my ability to be okay with that. I said, yeah, now that I say that out loud, that sounds totally convoluted. But the point was, it was so... I described it to somebody. It felt similar to the way when I teach and wisdom comes through me. It's like, whoa, who said that? This felt so beyond me. It felt it was not that it was wisdom, but it was just so without conscious thought that it was like it was like. Who said that? It was like lines in a play. And I will say that I got some help with this when we listened. Yeah, like being possessed by the pain body. Yay! Dawn, that's brilliant. Thank you. And I got some help with this the other night when we listened to Regina's The Flow that you played the other night for Holy Spirit Guides or whatever we call that program. Yeah, that's it. Okay, good. And we recently listened to Regina's December 2010 reteaching of The Flow. That was the original audio. Okay, good to know. Good to know. And that's under Regina Don Acres, Oldies and Classics. I think it's, what'd you say, it was number 8? Yeah. So that's a good one. If you haven't heard that one, listen to it. Yeah, good. If you haven't heard that, listen to it because it's really, really helpful. and the overall idea being, and don't take my word for it because I'm going to mess it up, but really go listen to it. But the way it's in my mind is the overall idea being that, you know, it's the idea of the code, kind of. There's a collective script that's being played out that we all write, and that based on the choices that are being made, there are only certain thoughts that I can choose to think that develop out of that. And, you know, and of course, we learned with the code that if you always choose the highest thought in whatever options are available to you, then the next moment, the next scene in the script, you'll have higher thoughts available to you. And that way you work your way up that ladder. Yeah, please go listen to Regina, because that's that's a really bad interpretation of what she said. But it occurs to me that, may, you know, those were certainly options. I had the option to go, you don't know me, don't tell me who I am, or not. Right? And I chose, although it didn't feel conscious, I chose based on habit, based on pain, body, based on all of that, to take that option. But that, and so that was helpful, because it did keep getting this sense, gee, there's something else going on here that I'm missing. But I think what's most helpful to me in this scenario, is to recognize that, yeah, I did want to project an image. I do want to project an image. And it's not so much, well, maybe not. Maybe that's not true. What I want to say is, it's not so much what you think of me that's important as what I want to continue to think of me. But that's probably BS. So it's probably both. All right. So I have got to get the clock working in this room again. Okay, it's 1:51. So let me just look in this. As this stuff works, it usually all flows together to tell me what I need to learn. So I'm going to start at the beginning of this message that I wrote sometime around Christmas. Said I was invited recently in Regina's Sunday homily to take a good look at those people that I didn't like. It was suggested that by so doing, I would be able to determine what it was in them that reminded me of what I was avoiding seeing in myself. As I began to look at those around me, my family, as I was home for the holidays, I began to see that what aggravated me most was the inability of seeming others to see their own blind spots. I mean, here we all were sitting around being who we are and not seeing where we fail to walk our talk. And again, with my family, we do this spiritual thing together. We always have. And so, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, how did you read that by Ramana Maharshi? Did you hear Regina's talk? Hey, you. Not really, but it's just easier to see it, you know, how somebody's gone off the path. It's like, well, wait a minute, weren't you just talking about Ramana Maharshi? You know? So, anywho, and just being blind to where we're not walking our talk. It seems the question mine would have me ask is, where am I not walking my talk? So it's like, and actually that seems a little too close to you spot it, you got it. You know, it's like, you're not doing what, you know, you said you thought you knew spiritually. Oh, it must be me that's not doing what I thought I knew spiritually. You know, again, it's just a little too cut and dried, is what I'm trying to indicate here. It seems the question mind would have me ask is, where am I not walking my talk? You know, oh, if that's why I'm aggravated with them, where am I not doing that? And I said, for the heart, there seems a deeper question. It actually seems to be a question of forgiveness. And this is it, because I can feel it, right? This is really hitting home. Where am I not forgiving myself for failing to walk my talk? I said, I've heard twice in as many days that once I forgive myself, forgiving everyone else comes naturally. And you know, Regina was talking earlier about how she was fortunate to have read Peace Pilgrim's book and to have heard Peace Pilgrim talking about the hills and the valleys. So that, you know, she allowed herself, when she was going through a period of darkness, when she was going through the valley, to be in the valley. and this is what my ability to forgive myself allows for. If I can't forgive myself, then I can't even admit that I'm in a valley, right? then I have to have this, I have to project to other people and to myself this image. No, all is well. I'm great. I'm great. Oh, I'm so spiritual. Right? I said, I have heard twice, and I did, and I think I've heard it two or three times since then, so this is really for me to hear. I have heard twice in as many days that once I forgive myself, forgiving everyone else comes naturally. And yet it is this that seems incredibly difficult to do. If I don't whip myself into shape, ensure that this one toes the line, berate myself for falling into lazy, self-indulgent habits, who can save me? That's ego's plan for salvation, right? And I can tell you that my whole life, I've been the one to say, and you all probably know if you've been around me any time at all, you know, it's like, batten that hatch, raise that sail. You know, I want to be alone, do this, do that, do this. I want to be that one in charge, right? And that comes from, that's, you know, making that judge making me toe the line or berating me for not doing it. So I feel that on the outside, and then I project that on everybody around me. What do you mean, Shauna? You didn't do what, you know, you were supposed to do that. You didn't even bother, right? So if I don't do that for myself to whip myself into shape, who can save me? I wrote, the great war is always a war with myself. The idea that things must be different begins and ends here. And if I'm not okay, how in the world could anyone else be? The self-indulgence here is the unquestioned assumption that I know how things ought to be. How should things be going? Who should I be? What does it mean to be spiritual, right? What does it mean to be doing a good job? What does it mean to be progressing on the spiritual path? Well, how the hell would I know, right? I don't know. Just like A Course in Miracles told us, we don't know our advances from our retreats. We don't know. And I said, and isn't that what a blind spot is? Isn't it a spot where you don't know what you don't know? Oh, yeah, now we're getting somewhere. That's it's so exciting, right? To begin with this, oh, I can't believe they can't see their own blind spots. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that what a blind spot is? Isn't it a spot where you don't know what you don't know? Knowing the search would be over. Knowing nothing would need to be different ever. And that's really, you know, that's really the beauty of it. And I talked about this a little bit last night. And I don't know if it came across or not, but I was talking about Regina and over here working with me and, you know, the guys working on the stairs, bang, 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 and I'm screwing stuff up and I'm like, you know, and I'm like, you probably think, she's like, no, all I'm thinking is, oh, look at my shiny nails. Oh, look at my shiny nails. Oh, look at my shiny nails. Every time she lifted them to the keyboard. But that's not needing anything to be different, right? That's just being. And surely that's the goal. Of course, once you make it into a goal, you've made it into something else. But all right, let's see. Let's see if I have anything else I need to get said before. Okay, she says, Dawn says, I've got 1 minute. I'm going to read these three paragraphs, okay, real quick in 1 minute. Gratitude. Gratitude is the opposite of this clutching, this grasping for some sort of perfection, for this state in which I've finally gotten it right, finally mastered the task, in control at last. Because isn't that what blind spots represent? The inability to control my environment, myself, my fate? It seems that in the end, my irritability with others' blind spots is merely reflective of my belief in my own victimhood. That's the same old belief that others know something that I don't know, have some hidden talent of which I'm bereft. And isn't that just the belief that I'm never going to get this? That there's a treasure to be plucked and I'm incapable of doing so? The marvelous thing about such a discovery is that I get to see the thoughts I have been believing, buried so deeply that they masquerade as the faults of others. The task now becomes to remember, when I find myself judging others for their blind spots, that neither they nor I are victims. We each have exactly that experience we choose to have. That is the essence of who we are. Okay. Thanks, guys. It's fun, fun, fun. I love you guys. See you next time.
Wow. That was super powerful, Jacqueline. Thank you. Wow. That was beautiful. I think you're right to move it on back to the journaling and then the sharing. That was very powerful. It's neat. It's got a lot to absorb from these last two. Wow. Just the whole morning of super insights and inspiration. That was Jacqueline Eckert, Reverend Jacqueline Eckert, and she was sharing her program As It Is. I want to invite everyone. We're going to be taking a break here shortly, but I want to invite everyone to come and join us here. We're going to come back in the sanctuary at 5:30. We're going to have Cheryl Kaplan sharing her program called Walking with Holy Spirit. And then we have Reverend George Maddox, who shares his new time slot, which is on at 6 now for a half hour every single Wednesday. And then we have the Joel Smith Study Group tonight with Reverend Hank Hamilton's right on after George. That's an hour long. Then my program's on tonight right after Hank, the Deep Embrace. Now, I am going to continue reading Byron Katie, but as soon as I'm done with that, I think I might take your suggestion there, Jacqueline, because I do love Locke Kelly. So I'll start on page 69. And then tonight we have at 8:31 Journey Together with Joanne Schneider. And 9 o'clock is NTI Discussion Group with both Reverends Nancy Sullivan and Stephen Mead. And then the last program of the evening is I Am That with Regina Dawn Akers. It starts at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, everyone, I'm taking a break. I'll see you again very, very soon.